spirit here this morning. I always appreciate that, just having a good time in the Lord. And again, good to see some good friends of mine, the Galloways, here with us this morning as well. And just having a great time. I didn't really expect it when I came out. Didn't really think about it one way or the other, I guess. Coming out for a whole week, we've been here with you guys. And so far, so good. You haven't asked us to leave. And so that's a good sign. And but just been a relaxing time for me, just to kind of catch up and on things. I was telling Brother Shane, you know, I usually get up in the mornings. I'm usually, you know, going. Just boo, boo, boo. You know, got to go here, got to go there. And I kind of wake up in that mode when I first wake up, you know, just things that I normally do when I'm at the house and then later on get to the office and stuff. But I got up the other morning, jumped up real quick, and I just kind of stood there and was like, you know what, I'm going to go lay back down. This is kind of nice. And so from that aspect, just getting to rest a little bit and just having a great time meeting with y'all and catching up on some old friends as well. And I just praise the Lord. Thank you for all your hospitality and stuff. But we came here to hear some preaching this morning. Amen. And again, want to say Happy Mother's Day to all those moms out there today. And as been mentioned a couple times, you know, ladies, whether you have children or not, there's times when you're a mother figure to others. And I know I could name several. The Galloway is so special to me. Lori's mom, Miss Shirley, I remember calling her mom. And she just was a great lady. She's in heaven now. Not my mom by blood, if you will, but was certainly a mother figure to me. And there were several others like that as well. So ladies, you just keep living for Jesus. Amen. You're influencing young people. We praise the Lord for that. Go ahead and take your Bibles. Turn to the book of John, chapter 2. John, chapter 2. Go ahead and, if you will, stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. We'll go ahead and read just one verse. Probably not a typical Mother's Day verse, but something that is said in here. Won't be preaching on the whole teaching of this passage, but something there that is said by the mother of Jesus herself, Mary. And the title of the message this morning is A Mother's Advice. A Mother's Advice. And we're going to look at two or three things that I believe will be a blessing to you on there on John chapter 2. Look at verse 5. We'll just read it real quickly and then we'll say some things and pray. Verse 5 says, His mother, that would be Mary, the mother of Jesus, saith unto the servants. And I want you to notice what it says here very carefully. You may know the context and what's going on here. We find the first miracle and the water made to wine. But we're not going to focus on that this morning. We're going to focus on something that I believe Mary says here that, boy, if the world could get a hold of this, you know, no matter what you're going through this morning, if you'll just do this, things will instantly get better for you. It says, His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. It's amazing what happens, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're doing, no matter whose fault it is. And we could preach there for a second. But listen, just do what Jesus says. Don't matter if you feel like it. Don't matter what you think or what this world has taught you to feel. And you know, we're conditioned to think in certain ways that's unbiblical. Just do what Jesus says, amen. Boy, you'll do that, your life will line up. You'll find out that things that were going wrong will just kind of start falling in place for you. Whatever He's saying, do it, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You for this day and thank You for the blessings of life, Your love, mercy, and Your grace. Father, that You show us each and every second of our life. And Father, we thank You for it. And as I said, Lord, I just appreciate these folks and their kindness to me and my family. And Lord, just a great time in the Lord that we've had. And Father, the church services and the things in between as well. And thank You for that. But Lord, right now, we just pray, dear God, that we'll kind of put those things off to the side, as wonderful as they are. And Father, even as we focus in on our moms here today as well, Lord, we want this to be about You this morning. And Father, that even though I'm preaching a Mother's Day message, Father, there's still truths in it that each and every one of us, including this preacher standing here right now, that needs to learn. And so, Father, I just pray that You'll be with us. And Father, I thank You for it. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You go ahead and be seated. I appreciate that so much. Again, not a typical Mother's Day passage. Again, as I think it's real important that preachers preach context and not to preach anything out of context. I'm certainly not doing that here this morning, but just kind of somewhat of a topical message that we're going to look at that we can glean concerning mothers from great advice from Mary here that we had. And we have here, again, the mother of Jesus. She's advising some people to do what Jesus says. And again, I think that's great advice. Amen. I think that's the best advice we could ever get. And again, as mentioned a while ago, I think of the many mothers, not necessarily my own. I thank God for my mom. She's still alive, and I praise the Lord for that. But all the godly influence in my life from mothers and even those that maybe not had children over the years. But praise the Lord, you know, when a mom says son or a mom says daughter, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I'd like to also pause just to say a few things. It's been mentioned a couple of times. You know, depending on your situation this morning in life, Mother's Day means a lot of different things to different people. And it's always kind of difficult as a pastor over the years. I've tried to remain sensitive to that. Now, we want to promote motherhood. Amen. I believe it's one of the things that's killing our country. But there could be some here today that's wanted to be a mother, but are not for whatever reasons. Maybe you're here this morning, you're at odds with your mom. You know, that happens. Or maybe a mother that failed you in some way. Maybe your mother has been mentioned a couple times already this morning. Maybe your mother's gone on and is no longer with us in this life. And there might even be some mothers here today that have a wayward child or some mothers that are here this morning. Again, I don't know you that well, but maybe you're going it alone. Maybe there's no longer a husband or whatever the case may be there. I just want to know, let you to know, and mainly God wants you to know that whatever your situation may be, just know this, first of all, that God loves you. Amen. And praise the Lord. I know that sounds kind of cheesy and kind of shallow, but it is so true. Understand that God loves you and He knows you're hurt if that's what you're going through, or maybe you're concerned of what you're going through. But now I've said all that to say this because I think it's so important that we understand that any time we get together as a group of people, maybe it's the first time you've been here, and what I'm saying is that I believe, despite what reason might have brought us all here today, as we come with our hearts turned towards our mothers this morning, that we are really all here, not because of Mother's Day, if you will, but we're here by divine appointment from God. Amen? You might be here because you want to be in church with your mom, and I praise God for that. But understand that it really goes beyond that. You're here by divine appointment from God. And listen, God has something for all of us today. In other words, He wants to give you something. And whatever He gives you today, I hope you walk out of these doors this morning and that you do it. Amen. I believe that's what God would have us to know this morning. And so again, we're going to be looking at some mother's advice. We were talking to some folks the other day. We hit on this a little bit, and you know the world has done I'm going to say a good job, but I mean a good bad job of de-emphasizing motherhood. I mean it's one of the things that's under attack, and I tell you folks, it's a lot of the reason why our country is in the shape that it's in today. That's another message. But it's come under the guise of equal rights and the women's live movement and all those types of things. And what it has left, it's left many a mother, and it's not just young mothers, but mothers of all ages, it's leaving them with this thought that the traditional mother is something that's beneath them. That being a traditional mom, oh, that's that. You're too good for that. But I tell you, we've raised two children. Well, one's still in the nest, but she'll be moving on. I'm not in a big hurry for it, but she'll be moving on one of these days. But listen, you know, I can think of no job that takes more energy, more time, more patience, more courage, more intestinal fortitude, more wisdom, more intellect, just plain old good old common sense than being a traditional mother. They got to do everything if you stop and think about it. You know, men, we might go home and work hard, but we usually come home and we become one of the kids. You know, we sit around, oh, rub my back, oh, that is such a bad day. But moms, it's true, their job is never done. And I thank God for traditional, what we would call biblical, if you will, godly mothers. Listen, I don't mean to be ugly, but we don't need the modern mother's way of thinking. We just don't. I believe it's undermining so many things, certainly in our homes and in our lives, our country. We need God-fearing moms who are interested in their children's soul. Amen. You know, my son, I'm so proud of the way he's turned out. He's got a great family. They're very active in the church. And I've just always told him, you know, he didn't go to Bible college, but I said, son, look, I just want you to be a good husband and a good dad in the Lord. That's what I want from you. And if he chooses to chase some type of education, that's great. Still told the same thing to my daughter. You know what I want out of my daughter? She's a very bright young lady. But you know what I want out of her? I want what God wants out of her. And God wants out of her to be a good, godly woman someday. Period. Everything else secondary. Everything else secondary. And so I praise the Lord for moms that are more interested in their children's soul than keeping up with the latest fads. And in other words, they're concerned about their eternal life than their children's success in this old temporal life. Boy, there's so much things that go to that. A mom that's more interested in her children's relationship with Jesus than their relationship with the world. Amen. Fitting in, if you will. You know, the list could go on. And so I just thank God for traditional, godly, biblical mothers that again, her children's spirituality is so important to them. It's above anything else that they might be involved in. So thank God for that. Now, I like to read about different people. I love to read biographies. Missionaries are my favorite. A lot of the great people, men and women that you read about, but especially men, it might surprise you that they all have one thing in common, and they all speak highly of their mother's influence. Just take the time to read some of those biographies that are out there. Now, understand the best way to rear children is how God made it in the beginning. It's for those children to have a father and a mother in the home. So I'm not promoting single motherhood here as being equal with having both parents. But I will say this, that you'll find a few great people who had a bad or absent mother in their life. In other words, you'll find a few great people in the world who were raised only by their father. It's there, but it's not as common. It's my experience reading and even knowing some of these great men and women as I've studied their lives, listen, that many of them had no father figure to speak of, but they had wonderful mothers. Almost always that's the case. The influence of a mother, it's a great thing. The influence of a mother, listen ladies, is a powerful thing. Now, by the way, I'm not going to preach on this. It works both ways. It's powerfully good, but it can also be powerfully bad. So always keep that in mind as well. And so again, but the power of a mother, it is so, I think it's a lot broader than what we think. Certainly more powerful even than what we think. And so I want to get into the Word this morning. And I want to tell you, first of all, a true story here about a man who grew up, that is, to be a great man of God. Really, I suppose it begins with his grandmother. We don't know the details, but I think we could safely assume that she had brought her daughter, which would later on be this young man's mom, had brought her up, that is, in the admonition of the Lord. Had taught her the importance of possibly not being unequally yoked in marriage and those types of things. Yet, as it so often happens, her daughter, from what we understand, would end up marrying a non-believer, if you will. And they would soon have a child. But after that, the child's father either died or abandoned the marriage. We don't really know the details there. But just like today, for this young lady, it was hard being a single mom. It was hard being a single mother. And so Grandma, by this time, her husband had passed away, it appears. And so the two, Grandma and Mom and the grandbaby, they all end up together in the same house. And again, we don't know the details of little Timmy's upbringing. But there's a lot that could be implied there as we read the text rather. And we know that his grandmother Lois, amen, and his mother Eunice, they shared with him the Scriptures. Oh, praise the Lord for that. And they prayed with him, and they prayed for him. These women were so close to God that when the Messiah came some 2,000 years ago, they're among some of the first converts. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And by the time this young Timmy, by now we know him by the name of Timothy, by the time he had reached his late teen, maybe early 20s, he had such a reputation as a Christian that the great apostle Paul took notice of him. And Paul gives credit to these two women, these two God-fearing women. And Timothy would go on to be a great preacher of the gospel. In the Bible, we find two letters. We're going to look at one here in a moment that was written to him. Two epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy, written by Paul to Timothy. So we ask, how valuable is a mother's advice? I'd say it's pretty valuable, wouldn't you? Amen. Amen. I believe it is. And again, I just want to share a few things that we learn, again, from the upbringing of Timothy by not only his mother, but his grandmother as well. Some advice that we could say, not only, you know, Mary said, do what Jesus says. Here we find some advice from these two godly mothers. Like Mary would say, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And so really, this is a message for everybody this morning. Number one, we've already talked about it. Pay attention to the Bible. Pay attention, we might say, to the Scriptures. Take your Bibles, if you have them, I hope you do. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to jump around a little bit this morning, and I'll try to preach quick. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Notice some more details about Timothy's life that we find out here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul, talking to Timothy, says, and that from a child thou hast known the, see it there, Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so we see there the influence of the Scriptures. No doubt the mother, the grandmother, had obviously exposed Timothy to the Scriptures, I believe, from the time that he was an infant. It says child, but I believe even maybe smaller what we think. Sometimes, you know, that's something that always blesses me when I hear it from those that were brought up in a strong Christian home. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't get saved until I was in my 30s. Wasn't brought up that way. But it's always a blessing when I hear some young man, maybe not even just a young man, but somebody that was brought up in church, or some a lady even, if you will. And they say, you know, I never remember a time without the influence of the Bible. I'll be honest with you, I envy that. I was like, man, that would be awesome to have. So if that's the case for you this morning, amen, praise God, I'm so happy that you have that. You know, a godly mother, we know that song, Dust on Their Bibles. A godly mother doesn't have dust on her Bible, amen. They don't have it. Timothy, as a small child, was exposed to the Scriptures. I believe that they read him the Word instead of Mother Goose. Amen. They read him the Bible. And some people will say, what good would it do to read a little baby a Bible? They can't comprehend the Word of God. Well, first of all, you got to understand, the Bible says in the Bible that it's quick. That means it's alive. And this isn't just words. Amen. This is the Word of God. It's quick. That means it's alive. It's supernatural. Not the leather and the ink and the paper, but the message, the very words of God is the Bible. And listen, when you expose, I don't care who it is to that, good things happen in their life. It's kind of like this. You got a little 1-month-old baby, and you take that little baby in there, and you put a little, I don't know how to do this, but you know, you put a little soap on there and squirt them with water, or you know, whatever you do, and you get that little baby all washed up. Does that baby know what soap and water does? He has no idea what soap and water does. Oh, but he's clean. Woo! Amen! He's clean! Same thing with the Bible, amen? Praise the Lord. I love that. I love that. And as he got older, no doubt he studied the Word of God. You know, he kept taking a bath, amen? And he studied the Word of God. And not only that, I believe they did it together as a family. And those women, they would share those wonderful stories of Noah and Jonah and the parting of the Red Sea. And they made it a point to provide that young man, young Timothy, with every opportunity to learn the Bible. I believe that. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Actually, there's several verses in there that you should read, beginning with about verse 4, I believe it is. But in Deuteronomy 6, it says, talking about teaching the Scriptures, teach them diligently unto thy children. Amen. And I believe these ladies did that. Moms, to do this, though, you got to remember, you got to have the Word in your heart as well. It's not just head knowledge of the Bible, it's heart knowledge. Amen. God, that's how God works. Listen, and maybe you fail in that area. And by the way, we all have to a certain degree. You're certainly not alone, myself included. But hey, if you're not there, then begin today. Make a commitment to be in the Word of God, to expose as much of the Bible as you can to yourself, to your children. And it's never too late to start, by the way. never too late to start. Begin today by committing to church and Sunday school, Sunday evening, Wednesday. They have a wonderful RU program, great discipleship program. Come and get plugged in that. Become a student of the Word so that you can teach your children the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Number two, pay attention to what real faith is. I say this a lot to folks, and I think you'll understand what I mean. So much teaching out there about power and faith, and most of it is what I would call ecstatic and emotionally driven, and it just kind of it leaves you pumped up for a while, but at the end of the day, you're more empty than you ever was. But real faith is really just this. Just listen to this. Real faith is just faithfulness. Do what He says. Faith is your everyday walk in life. So faith is really faithfulness. It's just faithfulness. It's doing what God says. We make it so hard, so difficult. But it's simply just doing what God says. Faith is faithfulness. And go ahead and turn, you're in 2 Timothy, turn to the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, and that's the word we're going to focus on, faith that is in thee, which dwelt first, he says, in other words, you're faithful, you got a true faith, he says, that in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Unfeigned means, it's just talking about genuine faith. In other words, it's real. It is, you know, a lot of people's faith, as we think about some of the different denominations and stuff that are out there, a lot of their faith could be defined simply as ceremony and sacraments. I mean, that's it. It's just a thing that they do. It's some type of show where we, you know, that we, you know, we put on Sunday mornings, if you will, whatever the case may be. But faith that is seen, faith that is lived out. Listen, it's in all aspects of life. I say again that faith is just faithfulness. It's faithfulness. And these two women had an unfeigned, the Bible used that word, unfeigned faith. What was the result of this genuine faith? Well, they used that word dwelt, but it tells us that same type of faith now dwelled in Timothy as well. Now, this doesn't mean that Timothy inherited his mother's faith. He had to come in acknowledgement and confess Christ as Savior just like everybody else. But Timothy was raised, listen, he was raised around a shining example of what a Christian ought to be. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. And this was a faith, talking about these two ladies, this was a faith that Paul says was unfeigned. It was real. This was two sold out women to the Lord. And it impacted this young man's life in a powerful way. In a mighty and powerful way. You know, our children, maybe more than anybody, when it comes to, you know, my daughter and my wife, they really know how strong a Christian I am. You know, we look at preachers and deacons and stuff, and we say, "Boy, that's a godly man, that's a godly woman." But we probably fall a little short than that, just to be honest with you. In other words, our children, particularly, they really know how strong of a Christian we really are, because they live with us. They see us day in and day out. I tell people all the time, if you want to know where I'm at in life and how I really am, okay, just be in the car with me when somebody's tailgating. Yeah, I have to go to the altar every time. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Our children, they really know where we're at with the Lord. Faith is faithfulness. Faith is faithfulness. So our children, they know that. And so mom, again, it's Mother's Day, but we can certainly say this for dads as well. What do your children see concerning your faith? And listen, we all fall short. We're all in the same boat here. But what is your faith? Think about it this way. What is your faith teaching them about, first of all, several things, and these are all tied to faithfulness. What does your faith really teach them about? What does your faithfulness teach them about God? What does your faithfulness teach them about church? De-emphasizing of motherhood is hurting us. De-emphasizing the local church is hurting us too. So what does your faithfulness teach us about God? What does your faithfulness teach them about church? What does your faithfulness teach them about the Bible? What does your faithfulness teach them about prayer? You see, we could go on and on and on. Just plug whatever you want in there. Are you providing that home that encouraged them in unfeigned, that is genuine faith? So number one, mothers need to pay attention to the Scriptures. Number two, pay attention to what real faith is. And then number three, and this will be our final point. That doesn't really mean anything, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. But number three, pay attention to what you instill in your children. You know, it's so important what we allow our children to see and to hear. And this is for all of us. your eyes and your ears. Do you know that those are gates to your heart? Or what we might call the soul? Yeah. You know, your soul is who you are without skin this morning. It's the real you. It's the real you. That's who you really are. And your what we might even call our ear gate and our eye gate. It's where those things come in. It could be good things, but it could be bad things. Oh, it's so important, folks, that we understand, especially children. Aren't they like a sponge? I mean, they'll repeat everything you don't want them to say. They'll quote it word for word. It amazes me. And the things you want them to hear, they're like, I don't know. But boy, say something, you know, that they probably didn't need to hear, or let them hear it from something else. Boy, it's just like it just sucks in there like a sponge. You know, it's so important what our children see and hear. And boy, I could go on a rant about social media, but I just fear that maybe out of ignorance, I don't know, but we're teaching our children more about being pleased than being pleasing. You know, and I'm just going to focus on one subject for sake of time on this thought, but it's meeting the needs of others. What we're talking about is being a servant. You know, there has been a shift, especially over the last 10 or 15 years, for the worse, concerning humility in children. Oh, boy. And by the way, it's such a blessing to you know, be around folks that are doing those things right, and I praise the Lord for that. But I'm talking about overall, out in the world. You know, children don't seem to reverence adults like they once did. You know, you don't hear much "no sir" and "yes sir" these days, and I think that's telling. I see children saying things to grown ups. We had a little episode last night at the drive-thru McDonald's, and thank God for my wife and my daughter. They kind of got me calmed down a little bit. But, you know, punks, boy, I tell you. But I see children saying things to grown-ups that are just downright disrespectful. Boy, I tell you, folks, that's a telltale sign of our society. And I see children, listen, that don't even think about having a servant's attitude. Again, we go back to moms. Listen, you can instill your children these wonderful qualities that listen, that stand out, that are noticeable in a good way by others, that are good. And what I mean by good, I mean godly. You know, nothing's more refreshing, especially the older I get, to see a young person with a servant's heart. Hey, man, I don't think that could make a parent any prouder than that. No matter what else they may accomplish in life, some young person that's sold out to God with a servant's heart, showing respect and courteousness and well-mannered and hard-working, all those great things. I just want to tell you something, folks. There is absolutely nothing cute about a sassy 3-year-old. God is not pleased with that at all. Amen. Amen. By the way, it's easier to teach them that when they're 3 than when they're 13. Timothy had this reputation that we read about. We're going to turn a couple more places. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I was going to say last place, but we'll probably go one more place. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. We'll try to beat the Methodist. We'll try. I don't know if we will, but we're going to try. Acts chapter 16, look at verse 1. Again, we have Paul here sending for Timothy. It says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." This is some of the information that we have that I've already talked about. Now notice what it says in verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren, talking about Timothy, was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And so we see here that Timothy had this reputation of being a servant by this time, and many other things as well. We just don't have time to talk about them. So as a young man, he was known, even as a young man, he was known as a strong believer. In other words, when I say strong, this was someone that was serious about Christ. Timothy had a good reputation. People spoke well of him. And again, you know, as a parent, nothing can bless our heart more than that. But we again, I go back to what I said, we got to instill those good qualities if we desire to have those good qualities as well. We see all this again because we go back to what we've been talking about, the influence of this godly grandmother and this godly mother. You know, the mother especially, as we think, and again, I was assuming some things there at the beginning, but I believe they very well could be true. And just like a lot of godly moms today, there was a time in their life that they weren't so godly. You hear me, ladies? Hey, look, we've all made mistakes. And by the way, you're going to make some more. Amen. I mean, none of us are perfect when it comes to parenting. Believe you me, none of us are perfect. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can certainly speak for me and my family. So we're going to make some mistakes, and maybe we've made some awful mistakes in the past. We wish we could go back and change them. We can't. But listen, with the help of her godly mother, this young lady who had made a mistake, with the help of her mother, and it seems even without a father, this young lady, they raised a fine young man. Amen. And again, what more could any parent ask for than that? Now, I got one last place that I want to turn to, Proverbs chapter 31. It wouldn't be Mother's Day if we didn't go to Proverbs chapter 31, would it? Amen. Amen. Brother Travis read some from there a while ago, and we're not going to read the whole psalm, but I just want to try to encourage you with some scriptures this morning. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. Last chapter in the book of Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31. I'm just going to read a couple of verses toward the end. Look there at verse 27. Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You know, we all have the greatest mom on earth, don't we? Amen. And that's good. Keep it that way. So I just want to say thank you again. I know it's not easy, and it gets harder in this world to live as a Christian ought to live, to be a godly mother. It's harder to do than it was maybe even 5 years ago with all the things that, you know, that are out there. But thank you. Amen. I'm not saying you're perfect, but you just keep up the good fight. Amen. Praise the Lord for the grace of God. And maybe there are some, you know, as a dad, I've certainly fallen this category. Maybe there's some who've missed the mark in areas of motherhood. Listen, you can't go back and change it. There's nothing you can do. But I can tell you what, you can do. You can start right now. You can walk out of here better than when you came in. That's for every one of us, by the way. Just do what He says. You see, Jesus knows more about raising kids than any mom ever will. He's God. He knows more about being a dad. He knows more about being a child. Listen, whatever it is that you have in your life, Jesus knows way more about it than you ever will. Just do what He says. Amen. I can't think of any better advice for anybody, saved or lost. So begin right now by making that commitment to the Lord. Pay attention to the things that really matter in your children's life. I'll end with this. Things that have eternal value, those are the things they need the most. I'm afraid that we sacrifice a lot of things that have eternal value in our children's life so that they can get ahead in things here that 1,000 years from now will not matter. Invest in eternal things, not temporary things. Stand with me if you will as our pianist comes.